This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.
Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org.
Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the meat of the word that feeds our souls and makes us grow in Christ. And this morning, Lord, as we do open your word, we pray, Lord, our prayer is, feed us, O great Jehovah, till we want no more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn in your Bible to the new chapter here. We're going to Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. They took counsel, bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. All right, now, our chapter here, this new chapter, chapter 27, opens with the word, when the morning was come. And normally, that's a statement of hope. And this was a mourning for the enemies of Christ. It's more than just a mourning of a day for them. For them, this is a new mourning of hope because they, for 3 long years, have endured being exposed by Jesus Christ. Their hypocrisy has been exposed for 3 years. It's been miserable 3 years for them. He taught them, for example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He was talking about them, the chief priests and the elders, and he exposed the hypocrisy of a religion that just puts a focus on self. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He was talking about them. He was exposing them for when they were praying, not really praying to God, but praying to the people, or so that he could be heard and they could say, oh, wow, you know, so magnificent prayer, so magnificent their devotion to God. You know, it reminds me of my rabbi friend. We were together in my home, and all of a sudden he says, oh, it's time for me to pray. I said, well, you know, I got a room over here. You want to go over there and pray? Oh, no. It had to be in the living room, pointed toward Jerusalem, big black, silky, shiny coat he puts on to pray, for to be seen of men. I don't know what I call the room there and hide? No, that's not out of the question, you know. Matthew 6:16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, exposing. God asked a question in Zechariah. He said, during those 70 years of captivity, when you fasted, he said, did you at all fast to me? Was it to me? No, they were fasting to men, again, exposing. He went on, and then during these 3 years, Christ really turned up the heat on the Pharisees, and when he said in Matthew 23:13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So what he's saying here is that there were those who were in the process of going into the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you block them. And he says, woe unto you. And this is what's done. I mean, this organization called Jews for Judaism specifically is looking for Jews who may be coming to Christ, who may be pointing themselves to Christ, and they block them with all kinds of literature and testimonies and so forth, so people who tried to come to Christ and then didn't. Anyway, it goes on and on, Matthew 23:14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer, they shall receive the greater damnation. He was exposing in that statement religion that goes after money, religion that only wants money. Matthew 23:15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Think about how infuriating that was for them to hear of their exposing of going all over to bring people into a religion that rejects Jesus Christ. How many times I've heard those in the Chabad movement say, you know, we don't really care about Gentiles, we care about you. You're a Jew, you have the Jewish soul in you, they say, and you have to turn from this nonsense about Jesus Christ and turn back to becoming an observant Jew. Put on tefillin, put on mezuzah on your door, etc. And what did Christ call that? You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And then he says in Matthew 23:25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but they within are full of extortion and excess. He condemned with those words the religion that says nothing about thoughts, nothing about what your dreams, your fantasies, and so forth that are making you dirty inside. Just you got to look good on the outside. A lot of mitzvot, a lot of good works. I read all these verses to you now, so we can really get ourselves into the whole atmosphere of what this was like in verse 1 when it says, when the morning was come, because this was for the scribes and Pharisees going to be a hope of silencing all these words of condemn them. And because for 3 long years, the enemies of Christ have endured this exposing their sin, their hypocrisy, and it's been 3 years of misery for them. And for 3 long years, they've also watched their power and their influence over the people become eroded as Christ led lost souls out of religion and into a life-saving relationship with God. 3 years they've had to put up with this, and Jesus Christ, for those 3 years, emerged onto the stage of their theater with a call in Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 3 long years. It's been a night of 3 years of loss, and now a new day with the words in verse 1, when the morning was come. And the enemies of Christ have feel that a new morning has come, and now they can eliminate Christ from their stage of the theater. And so there's one word in this verse, here, Matthew 27:1, one word that shows an overall agreement among the chief priests and the elders, and that one word is the word all. All. That word all, that one, in the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders had come together. All. Reminds me of that word all, reminds me of a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago with an Israeli film director who came to Loretto, and he told me that he's making a new film on the subject, who is a Jew or what is a Jew, something like that. And we discussed that question, what is a Jew? And I told him that for over a year, I went through the process of making Aliyah, becoming an Israeli citizen through via the Israeli right of return that allows all Jews anywhere from any place, anytime, to become citizens of this country because they're at last a Jewish homeland, Israel, a place where Jews can say, I belong. No longer the Germanies that throw them out, the Russians that throw them out, the Poland that throws them out through anti-Semitism. But at last, a country, 1948, was formed in Ben-Gurion and said, this is the land of the Jews, and any Jew will belong to it. So anyway, so, you know, I applied, I'm born to 2 Jewish parents, but at the end of the process, I explained I was interviewed by the Jewish Agency in Jerusalem, and it was just asked just one question, one lone question, the qualifying question, what, are you born to 2 Jewish parents? That wasn't the question. The question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God? As soon as they knew I did, the interview was over, and I was refused Israeli citizenship as I was judged, you're no longer a Jew. Why? Why was I no longer a Jew? Because I believed that the most famous Jew who ever lived was God or the Son of God. And that got at the heart of the question, what is a Jew? Is a Jew a person who believes in God, maybe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Can a Jew be an atheist? Can there be a Jewish atheist? Can there be a Jewish atheist and still be a Jew? Yes, there are many atheistic Jews in Israel who do not believe that there's a God. They're Jews, fine. Can a Jew be a Buddhist? Can he practice Buddhistic meditation and chanting? Yes, he can still be a Jewish Buddhist. He can be a Jewish atheist, he can be a Jewish Buddhist. There are many Jews in Israel who practice Buddhism in meditation and chanting Buddhism. They're Jews, no question about it. Can there be a Jew who is part of the Hare Krishna? Can there be a Jewish Hare Krishna? Yes, they are there in Israel. They are Hare Krishnas. They're considered Jew. So the list goes on and on. Can there be a Jew who follows another Jew so closely and exalts him? Nachman, Schneerson, the Chabad, all follow Schneerson. They say he is the, some say that he is the Messiah. There are many Jews in many religions. They're considered Jews. There are many Jews following different people. They're considered Jews. But the state of Israel has decided that there's one thing that a Jew cannot be and still be a Jew. There cannot be a Jewish Christian because that believes that Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God. That's the only line that the state of Israel has drawn in the sand and said, a Jew cannot be a person who believes that Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God, because with that, he loses being a Jew if he believes that Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God. That's the impact behind the word all in verse 1. As I said to this Israeli film director, what happened? And the film director said to me, that's a view that I want to be in part of my film. What is a Jew? And I said, more than happy to state that view. So anyway, in verse 1 was this new day of a uniform consent, a uniform consent. And that's really something to see there in verse 1. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Why were they taking counsel? What did they have to discuss? What was the question that was on the table when they wanted to put Jesus to death? What's the issue? What's the issue? The issue was that Israel was under Roman rule, the rule of the Romans, and the Roman government had taken away from the Jewish government the right to execute criminals. They didn't have that right anymore. Only the Roman government had the right to execute anyone. So even though the Jewish Supreme Court of the Sanhedrin had ruled that Jesus was guilty of death, they had no ability to put Jesus Christ to death. And the fact that the nation of Israel had lost this power, to execute, you know, in capital punishment, it shows how Israel at this time was slowly losing its right to govern itself. Again, and as a matter of fact, it's going to be from this point a very short 30 years when the nation of Israel will lose all its power to govern itself, which will happen in 70 AD when the Roman general Titus will come and destroy Israel, and the Jewish people will be scattered throughout the world in what's called the Great Diaspora. And for 2,000 years, there would be no nation of Israel. For 2,000 years, there would be no government of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel. Because from today, 4,000 years ago, Jacob, on his deathbed, with the limited number of words that he could speak before he died, he saw at that time the coming of the Messiah, and he saw the time that the Messiah would come. Just before Jacob died, he said this in Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's what Jacob said just before he died, that the scepter would not depart from Judah and the lawgiver be from me. So what does all that mean? It means that on his deathbed, he made the prophecy where the scepter, the ruling rod, would not depart out of the hand of the Jews. The government, a government to rule the Jewish people would not depart out of the hands of the Jews, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. The Jewish people would not lose their ability to make laws, government laws, and rule with those laws with the scepter. It would not leave the Jewish people until the Messiah came. Shiloh is the Messiah, until the Messiah came. And in verse 1, the fact that they're having to discuss how they're going to accomplish the death of Jesus, the capital punishment here, shows that they've already have beginning to lose this power to govern themselves, the lawgiver from between his feet, the rule, the scepter. And so is going. So now that the state of Israel has reformed since 70 some odd years ago, in 1948, May 14th, 1948, now the state of Israel has reformed after 2,000 years. It's come together, and it is today in the same place that the government was in verse 1, saying that if you go to this person, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, then you cease to be part of the people of God. You know what's so ironic about this? Jacob just said the opposite. He just said that to the Messiah, Shiloh, that the people would be gathered together. Unto him shall be the gathering of the people. That's what he said in Genesis 49:10. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But in verse 1, the chief priests and the elders were meeting to decide how they were going to see carried out the sentence of death if they weren't allowed by the Romans to execute it. In other words, they were saying, anybody who goes to Jesus, unto him shall be the scattering of the people, unto him shall be the repelling of the people. They're not going to be part of the people anymore. You're not going to be a Jew anymore if you go to Jesus. See, that's what they were saying, and that's what they're still saying today. You know, but Jacob said just the opposite. Unto him shall be the gathering of the people. All right. Now in verse 2, it's that we read these words, when they had bound him, when they had bound him. That means they tied his hands. They tied the hands of Jesus behind him. Christ was bound with his hands behind his back already in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what they did there when he was first arrested. Now, but when he was in the court of the Sanhedrin being questioned, he was untied. He was untied. He was allowed to stand there and defend himself. And if he wanted to speak and use his hands to say, you know, this and that, you know, everything was free. But now that they've given the sentence of death and they've decided, so he's tied again with the rope that's binding his hands behind his back. He's tied. Christ is tied. Christ is bound, is what it means there in verse 2. What a scene. What a picture. Freeze that picture. Jesus, the Messiah, bound with his hands behind his back. Jesus, the Almighty God, bound with his hands behind his back. I mean, we see the all-powerful Jesus Christ bound with his hands tied behind his back. He's bound. It reminds us of another person in the Bible, a powerful person, Samson, in Judges 16:8. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him, Delilah bound Samson, she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. So there was Samson who was bound with cords, and one flinch of his muscles and those cords came off him like fire touched them. The cords could not hold Samson. Here's Jesus Christ with infinitely more power available to him than Samson. And those cords that are binding Jesus Christ could have been in an instant disintegrated, just like they happened with Samson. But those cords were not disintegrated. And because the cords that held Jesus Christ, because for one reason, and that reason was because Jesus Christ chose to be bound. He chose to be bound.
Tom Cantor's messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. For other free resources, email us at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051. Join our live services on YouTube by searching Friendship with God with Tom Cantor every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.
This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.